This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. In a moment, we'll be speaking with the Trump administration's point man on Africa. But first, we speak about the turmoil in Iran. Protests that erupted a few days ago are growing. What began as apparent unrest over high prices and corruption has since turned deadly, with at least 21 people killed so far. Iran's supreme leader is blaming the nation's enemies, quote unquote, for the unrest. And yesterday, President Trump tweeted that it is time for change. Could these protests be leading to something truly significant? Joining us now to help us understand what's happening in Iran is Robin Wright, an analyst and joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center. She's the author of Rock the Kasbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World, and she's also a contributing writer to The New Yorker. Robin Wright, welcome to 1A.
Happy New Year, Joshua.
Happy New Year to you, too. What a dramatic way to start the new year in Iran with protests the likes of which I have heard some folks say are unprecedented. What's your read on the violence, the protesting in the streets? Is this the kind of thing that has happened periodically that maybe we in the U.S. just aren't paying that much attention to? Or is this really something new?
It is really something new, but it's also not the biggest thing that's happened since the 1979 revolution. 8 years ago, there were protests over a allegedly fraudulent election, and that led to protests that ran on for 6 months and massive trials and quite deep political trauma. This round is very different. This round began in a conservative city, which is Iran's holiest site, Mashhad, and it began over economic issues. It started because of protests over, ironically, the price of eggs, particularly poultry and eggs, because the avian flu had led to a culling. But it also comes at a time that Iran is trying to introduce reforms, end its subsidies, and as it becomes part of the international community again, follow the rules of kind of international economics. So the spontaneous protests that began in Mashhad quickly captured the imagination of particularly the young across Iran. The young face severe problems. Unemployment is estimated to be close to 30% among young people. And it's striking that when you look at the pictures that are coming out of Iran, how many of them look like they're in their 20s and early 30s.
So this is one of those protests that started off as one thing and then kind of snowballed to involve other grievances, other concerns?
Absolutely. And it looks increasingly political. There have been questions asked or chants shouted challenging the supreme leader himself, Ayatollah Khamenei, who will soon mark 30 years in power, questions about the system, and even questions about foreign policy. There was one telling chant where they talked about leave Syria, give us a chance, give a thought to us. And so there's a sense, I think, among some Iranians that Iran, an oil-rich country, is not using its revenues to the benefit of its people, as it should.
We are speaking to Robin Wright, an Iran expert at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson Center, about what's happening in Iran right now. We're only going to be discussing it for this segment of the program before we move on. So if you have questions or thoughts, if you have loved ones, family, friends, coworkers, colleagues that are in Iran or near Iran right now who can share their thoughts on what's going on, we'd love to hear from you. So email us, 1A at WAMU.org, tweet us at 1A, or comment on our Facebook page. Robin Wright, there was some reporting earlier today about how the government is responding to this. Fox News reported that it had a memo outlining meetings between Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, and political and security officials about how to quell the protests. I don't know if the authenticity of this document has been corroborated beyond Fox News, but what about that, the government's response to all this?
Well, a couple of days after the protests began, President Hassan Rouhani had a televised cabinet meeting, and he said that the Iranian people had a right to protest. It was provided and guaranteed in the Constitution, but that there was a red line when it comes to the use of violence. This is the same kind of challenge that the administration faced during the 2009 riots. But at that time, you had a hardliner in power, President Ahmadinejad. And the crackdown was very swift and extensive. And Iran held Stalinesque style mass trials, in which many people were sentenced to long years in prison. The two presidential candidates who lost in that election are still under house arrest. So the response in terms of security was sweeping and enduring. The question now is, at what point will the government decide to crack down even more extensively to prevent the kind of protests that appear to be happening often at night when people either come home from work or from school? The big question, of course, is will they flare again on Friday, which is the weekend in Iran, the time when people are at home. That was the most violent day so far since these began on Thursday. The government has said that the Revolutionary Guards will guarantee the security of the regime. And once you find, in effect, the national military out on the streets, that may change the dynamics and how far these protests get.
Can you help us, just as an American audience, put this into some context? We've heard a number of things about Iran in the last year or so. We've heard about the Iran nuclear deal and the potential future of that. We've heard about the unrest in the Middle East involving a number of proxy conflicts that involve Iran in Yemen, in Syria. And now there's this. It can be a little dizzying if you're not an Iran expert to know what to focus on and how. Does what we're seeing in Iran now, these protests, does this lock into those other things that we've been hearing about Iran, or is this something separate that we need to regard in its own light? How do we keep all of this straight?
These protests clearly are domestic, but they do reflect the fact that Iran is using its resources and its human capital in conflicts across the Middle East, notably in Syria, where it has deployed thousands and has been pivotal in propping up the regime of President Bashar Assad. It's also been involved in Iraq and advising the Iraqi government and the Iraqi militias, particularly the Shiite militias, how to fight ISIS. It's also allegedly had a role in Yemen. So it is meddling in the region, or has a presence in the region that is more extensive than at any time since the 1979 revolution. And this is known by Iranians, but it's not directly related to it. It plays into the fact, what are the priorities of the government? And there are obviously protesters who believe that the regime is not giving enough attention to its own people and expending its leverage and its resources outside the country.
Chip in Richmond, Virginia writes, for most Americans, I suspect Iran is just another confusing country with an array of past mistakes by American presidents, CIA involvement, etc. But I wonder how many listeners share my deep concern over saber rattling by the Trump administration with Iran, because we have loved ones living and working in the region right across the waters from Iran. Funny how, to paraphrase Tip O'Neill, all foreign policy is local. I wonder what about that, Robin Wright. President Trump tweeted this morning, quote, the people of Iran are finally acting against the brutal and corrupt Iranian regime. All of the money that President Obama so foolishly gave them went into terrorism and into their pockets. Continuing to quote from the president's tweet, the people have little food, big inflation, and no human rights. The U.S. is watching, unquote. What about that, the rhetoric coming from the Trump administration as it relates to this situation? Does it help? Does it hurt? Does it matter?
Well, I think it matters a great deal, and in part because of the history of U.S. intervention in Iran. In 1953, Iran went through the first democratic election that put a prime minister in place, and this was a challenge to the monarchy at the time. And, of course, the Shah was one of the U.S. closest allies, not just in the Middle East, but in the world. And there were a number of steps that he took, including nationalizing oil, that was not popular in Washington. So the CIA and British intelligence engaged in what we call was kind of a rent-a-coup. They helped mobilize people to protest. And they brought the Shah, toppled the prime minister, and allowed the Shah of Iran to come back from his temporary exile in Rome. And many people in Iran still think that U.S. meddling in the process that was political and evolutionary and legitimate among the Iranian people, paved the way in the end for a revolution in 1979 that people had to rise up not just against the monarchy, but also against its American supporters. And so the fact that the U.S. is taking a high-profile position on this is not going to play well, I think, even among people who are unhappy. Iranians are very proud, very nationalistic, and they want to be the ones to decide their future. And the danger is that the regime can blame the United States again for trying to shape the future of Iran. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Leader has already come out and said and blamed today enemies of the regime who are using their intelligence, their resource, and their weapons to fuel these protests. So there's the danger that you get an international component to what is a domestic issue.
Robin, one last thing. We're low on time, but Russia's foreign ministry issued a statement saying that this is Iran's internal affair, and they expressed the hope that the situation will not develop according to a scenario of violence and bloodshed. That's a statement from them. Briefly, Russia's stake in what's happening in Iran, what does their role look like? Very briefly.
Russia is one of Iran's closest allies. They are in sync and working together in Syria and elsewhere. And Russia has a great stake in seeing stability in Iran.
Robin Wright is an Iran analyst with the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Wilson Center, also a contributing writer to The New Yorker. Robin, we appreciate you adding your context to this. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll shift gears from Iran to Africa. We've been paying a lot of attention, a lot more attention to Africa on this program over the last few months. Up next, we'll be speaking with Ambassador Donald Yamamoto, who has the 30,000-foot view of what all is going on with U.S. policy across that continent. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you for the new year. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.